There is this great celebration going on. Party. Everybody's filled with joy. Well, maybe not everybody. Because the story that Tim just read to you from Luke 15 is really a strong word for us church people. I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself in that role or not. Many times we read about this and we say, oh, well, that's for somebody else. But it's really for us. We need to examine our hearts and our lives as we make sure that we don't settle into spiritual autopilot where we're just hanging around, experiencing the benefits, but not jumping into the challenge and seeing the heart of God. In this story, in Luke 15, everybody is excited except for two parties. One of them is the fattened calf. He must be thinking to himself, now I know why they fed me so much to get me ready to be lunch for the rest of these guys. He's not, or she's not real happy, whichever gender that one happened to be. But also we find out in our story that the older son is not at all excited. He's out working in the field, slaving away. Suddenly, he hears the celebration going on, and he sees one of the employees of his dad. He says, hey, what's happening? And he tells him, hey, your younger brother has come home. He's left his former life. He's come back. He's a part of the family again. And everybody's celebrating. But the older brother is not thrilled at all. I want to repeat something that I shared last week, just in case you were taking a nap during that part of the message, or if you weren't here, because it's so important for us. We talked about how our environment and circumstances do not create or control our choices in life. I want to say that one more time. Because so often, we allow the things around us to impact what's going on in our lives. Circumstances and our environment do not create or control our choices in life. What do? They reveal who we really are. And when that happens, we need to take notice. Here is a man, the older brother, who is spiritually lost, and he never left home. He lived in a very good environment. It's a picture of somebody just hanging out on spiritual autopilot, not really engaged in the kingdom work. We have to ask ourselves the question, is this me? And to be real honest about answering that question. In this story, we deal with what I believe is one of the most, if not the most, significant sins in our Western culture. It's the sin of self-righteousness. We think we've got it all together, but it masquerades as sin, and it prevents us from experiencing the real blessings of God. Jesus really deals harshly with this sin, by the way. If you want to see a fuller picture, read Matthew 23, where he speaks about the religious leaders of his day. And the most strong terminology that he uses in all the Gospels is reserved for the church people of his culture. And that should really get our attention today. You see, self-righteousness puts us on Satan's team. Self-righteousness is the me life, okay? And we need to make sure that we try to avoid that life. Now, I'm going to give you some of the byproducts from our story of the me life, but I don't want you to be discouraged. It's a long list. In fact, as I was putting this together this week, I decided not to put any fill-ins on your outline there. So you could just stay away from that part of it. But do listen. It's so overwhelming that if we look at the whole package, we can get lost in it. But if we'll be really honest today before God, I believe that He will speak to us about one or more of these that needs some attention in our lives today. So would you be transparent, again, before the Holy Spirit? Listen to the Spirit as we see a description, and it's going to be a brief one of each of them, of the me life that we need to avoid. What's the first one? Anger. Inappropriate anger. Notice the first part of verse 28 again. The older brother became angry. After the older brother discovers that there's a party going on in honor of his rebellious younger brother, the first part of that verse says he becomes angry. And here's what we know. In the context of the story, he is not angry at the sin that his younger brother was involved in. He's angry at his younger brother. See the difference between those two? He's not angry at how his younger brother treated his dad. That's not his issue. He's just angry. Why? Because he's not getting all the attention. It's the me life. Unrighteous anger then leads to further problems. What's the next one? Arrogance. Yes, we church people need to be careful that we don't dip into the pool of arrogance. Look at verse 28, second part. He refused to go in. His father's house is a place of tremendous celebration. They're having great food. They're having wonderful friendship time together. The calf that is used for the meal that day has probably been set aside for some future special celebration. But the father is so excited that his younger son has come home that now that celebration has trumped the future opportunity. And they provide the calf for meal. The chances are excellent that the father has hired a band of singers to come into his house that day to celebrate with him. He's gone above and beyond the call of duty. So what does the older brother do? Instead of joining in the celebration, he boycotts the party. In essence, he says, "I'll show them." And he isolates himself. And he completely misses the point. What's the next ingredient of the me life? Resentment. They're all tied together. Verse 29. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you." In essence, look at all this stuff I've done for you, Dad. Look at how hard I've worked for you. What about me? He forgets something that's really important, Christ followers. He forgets how very special it is just to have the privilege to serve. You know what I'm talking about? Because if you do it, you've experienced it. And if you're not experiencing it, then maybe you need to step up your service in some way to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. The older brother is basically complaining about the opportunity and privilege he has of serving God. And then he makes this outlandish statement. If he really believes this, he's going to be self-deceived. And that's the fourth byproduct of the me life. Self-deception. Look at what he says about himself. "And never disobeyed your orders." Really? Never? To his dad? As he makes this statement, he sins. He's lying. Because none of us is perfect. Satan loves spiritual arrogance. And that's why pride is listed as one of the seven deadly sins in the Scripture. If the evil one can influence you to think that you are better than someone else or more important to God than another person, you will be one of Satan's most effective disciples. We need to avoid it. It's deadly. I want you to listen to the testimony by video of a young man who talks really fast. You ready to hear his fast words? You got to really tune in so that you can hear him. I believe he is a modern day Pharisee. And he really helps us understand the difference between I am and perfect. The great I am.
I know it.
See the difference? We're going to be involved in one of two I am lifestyles. In other words, I am, it's all about me, the me life. Or we are going to allow the great I am to change us forever and to bask in His mercy, His grace, His power, and for His glory. Which will it be for me? But there's more danger in the me life. Number five, what is it? Ingratitude. A thankless spirit. Look at what he says again at the end of verse 29. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. A young goat would have been cheaper, less expensive than the fattened calf. And he's complaining. You see, me-centered people have very selective spiritual memories. We don't really focus on what happened and God's hand in our lives. They easily forget how many blessings that we have from God. How many blessings. They are so simple, so often we forget them. Many times, you know what we do? We look to God and say, God, what have you done for me lately? Oh, keep that good spiritual memory, will you? A sixth result of the me life, relationship problems. When you are me-centered, others are going to hurt around you. Notice what he says in the beginning of verse 30. But when this son of yours, he's talking about his brother, but he says, this son of yours, what a way for a brother to speak about his brother. It's kind of like what happens, parents, when one of our children has been acting up, misbehaving, you know, and your spouse comes around and we say, do you want to hear what your child did today? Right? In essence, this older brother has disowned his younger brother. And on top of this, the older brother slanders his younger brother. That's what the me life leads to. Slander. Defaming others. Look at the middle part of verse 30. Who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home. Now, this is the first time we have heard anything in this story about prostitutes. We don't know that that happened. We don't know that he hired prostitutes. But even if this younger brother had, why does he share that story? Why does he slander him? Why is he a gossip? A byproduct of the me life, trying to pull others down. One more quality. Next, we see one other byproduct of the me life, unhealthy comparisons. We can do that a lot, can't we? The end of verse 30. You kill the fattened calf for him. The older brother resents his father's distribution of resources. He says, you give him more than you've given me. Again, he's forgotten about how blessed he is. Now, you know what's tempting for us to do at this moment, as we've heard this story? To just be so sick of this guy that followers of Christ are tempted to say, yeah, stop the self-righteousness. Let's string him up. I want to share this slowly for us to evaluate our own lives. Do you know that this sin, self-righteousness, the me life, is so subtle and dangerous that it can manifest itself as me looking down on others who look down on others? Follow me? Think about it. In other words, I judge the judgmental. I've got to be careful. Those of us who have been set free by Jesus Christ, hopefully from a harsh, critical, judgmental, self-righteous attitude, may actually think that we are better than those who have a harsh, critical, judgmental, and self-righteous attitude. We have to be careful. We have to look together at this list of negative qualities of the me life so that we can see the better lifestyle. to pursue. And I'm really excited about this part of the message because we're moving past the negative and we're moving towards the positive, the lifestyle to pursue. It's the lifestyle of the Father in our story. It's the lifestyle of our Father in heaven. Let's call it the Christ life as opposed to the me life. What does the Christ life look like? It does not ignore God's call, His invitation to follow Him and to serve Him. Look what happens in verse 28, at the end of that verse. So His Father went out and pleaded with Him. Who? With the older brother. The one who has been dragging everybody else down. This is amazing. The Father comes out to meet the older brother just as He went out to meet the younger brother, the rebellious son. He is an awesome, seeking, and saving God. This is the essence of who God is. And He pleads with this older brother to come home. He calls him son. This is the term of endearment, the most tender of all terms that He could have used, especially in light of His bad attitude at that moment. And then the Father reminds us to do something else. Count your blessings. This is what we need to do if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. We need to count our blessings. Verse 31, my son, the Father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. Here's the tendency, Christ followers. The longer we love and serve and follow Christ, the easier it becomes for us to forget about His blessings, to take them for granted, to even think somewhere along the way, well, I must deserve these blessings. Follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been following Him for decades, the good news is you've been spared the consequences of disobedience and rebellion. But don't take it for granted. Thank Him every day. Faithful believer, a great inheritance is coming your way. Do you realize that? You have so much to look forward to. And so that means that today we need to be thankful right now, today, right where we are. Please don't take it for granted. Probably you haven't heard of any of this. It's all happened in the last couple of weeks, but I bet very few of you have heard about it. One of them, a 75-year-old Australian missionary held captive in North Korea for 2 full weeks, interrogated 2 hours every morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. 4 hours a day, intense interrogation, a 75-year-old man in North Korea. Man, he must have really done something horrible. What did he do? He handed out some gospel tracts to North Koreans in front of a Buddhist temple. That's why he was arrested and interrogated. Less than two weeks ago, Islamic extremists beheaded a mother and her cousin in southeast Somalia. Hear about it? Just 10 days ago, an Al-Shabaab militant gave this quote as to why they did this. We know these two people are Christians who just came back here from Kenya. We want to wipe out any underground Christians living inside the jihadist territory. The mother's 2 daughters, 15 years old and 8 years old, witnessed the beheading of their mom. Think about it. A week ago, this past Friday, some Muslim Fulani herdsmen, basically farmers, nomadic, on the go, simultaneously, together as a group, attacked Christian villages in northwestern Nigeria and destroyed every home they could find. They burned over 100 homes down, 100 Christ followers were burned to death. Did you hear about it? 10 days ago, this happened. Follower of Jesus, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And thank Him. And stand for those who are hurting and suffering, would you? In our parable, the father reminds the older son that we need to celebrate the victories of others. Don't be discouraged if someone else gets something you don't have. Instead, follow Christ by celebrating others' victories. The beginning of verse 32, the father said, "But we had to celebrate and be glad and never stop celebrating," okay? Keep the party ongoing until we get invited to the Messianic feast. And then it'll be awesome. Today I have some friends who are here from our faith family in Indiana on their way to see the aquarium and stop by to worship with us. And I'm not going to embarrass them in any way or call out their names. I will tell you how they're dressed. They have clothes on. I was thinking about them because I was thinking about the story of the beautiful older daughter, two beautiful daughters here today. And I remember the evening she and her mom came into my office because she was so moved by the Spirit of God after going to Vacation Bible School that she believed God was calling her to follow Him. And I heard her story and we talked about the gospel and I watched the passion in her face that then led to tears of both repentance and then joy as she made her commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And now she's grown up, and just this past summer she shared that story in Kenya with students there on a short-term mission trip. Then her little sister became a follower of Christ and was baptized last Easter as a Jesus follower. And then a friend, a dear friend of their family, traveling with them, Brian, made his commitment to Christ in our newcomers class about a year ago and was baptized shortly after that. And I just want to celebrate with them. What's your story? Are you still celebrating the goodness of God? What He's done for you in the past? You haven't overlooked that, have you? You're still focusing on His blessings and His goodness, aren't you? You're not living in a negative vein now, are you? Are you ready to move forward with the blessings of Christ? And there's one more thing that I want to share with you that's a direct byproduct of the Christ life. The Christ life cares for the unreached. For those who haven't yet taken that step of following Jesus. In verse 32, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Will you share God's heart for the lost? Will you focus outward to those strays as we talked about last week? And when we do that, you know what happens? We stop worrying so much about our own challenges or what we might not have at this moment because we're other-centered. You see, when we care for those who are without Christ, without a church family, we really do not have the time or the energy for self-righteousness. We will have a desire, an ultimate desire for the good of others. And what's the ultimate good? Their walks with Jesus Christ. For them to have saving and growing relationships with Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not about us. It's never about us. As Luke 15 ends, a party is going on. One son comes home to the father. The other is still lost right at home. Which am I? I want to invite you to just really think again about the me life. And that list of qualities that we went over, is the Spirit kind of nudging you towards dealing with any one of these? The anger, arrogance, resentment, self-deception, ungrateful attitude, maybe relationships that have been hurt because you're embedded in a me life, slander of someone else, unhealthy comparisons. We don't need to compare ourselves with anybody else. You're God's unique person. Just go to Him individually. Would you instead look at the Christ life and look at following Him, which means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit? We count our blessings over and over, and we never stop. And when others have great things happen, we celebrate with them. We take joy in their joy. And we care for the strays, those who are not yet following Jesus. Father, what would you say to us today? I need to change that prayer, God. You've already said it. How can we be obedient to what you have said to us today? Show us that, Lord. Help us not to be like that older brother. Change us from the me life to more of the Christ life. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. I want to share some thoughts with you as we get ready to head into our response time here today. This is your opportunity to follow what Christ is saying to you today. Encourage you on your communication cards. When God's speaking, let us know so we can pray for you. If there are certain questions you have, struggles you're having, let us know so we can follow up with you. We're going to have a time to give those back in just a minute. But you may have looked up here and said, man, the stage sure is cluttered up here. Look at all this stuff up here. Well, that's my bad. Okay? They're here for a reason. This is a group of cards. Our choir and worship ministry is going to be presenting the story on Friday and Saturday nights. It's the 12th and 13th, right, Jimmy?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday night, Sunday night, the 12th and 13th, did I have the right dates, in April coming up. And here are some ways you can reach out. I want to invite all of you to be involved in some way in being a bringer or inviter. And if you want to do this, you can mail these cards. The addresses are here to communities around our area. You can take some time and just put a little personal note on it even to say it's just so great during our welcome times to hear the blessings of our lay people, like Robin sharing today about what her church home has meant to her. You can just share a short word there. You know what you can even do? You can go even one step beyond mailing stuff. You can even get more personal. You can hand some of them to the people you know. What do you guys do when you get these in the mail? I mean, just be honest. You scrap them. Every once in a while, there's a rare person that reads it and responds. But you know what's going to really make the difference? When they know somebody connected to it. So how about your neighbors and friends? How about some people you know? How about work associates? Somebody God places on your heart. These are here, and they're available during our response time for you to come and grab one and keep them and use them and reach out in some way. You know, something else I want to ask you to pray about. This is so fresh that I hesitate because I'm not sure how much we can be involved, but it makes me wonder. A friend of mine is a missionary in the central part of Africa. He emailed me a couple of nights ago and said, you know, we had crossed paths and I hadn't seen him in decades until a few months ago. And we talked about possibly being able to be partners and involved. And he said, we're going to be gathering up our missionary corps in Rwanda and Uganda. And we need some people who would come over and love on our children and have a program for them, a VBS type thing, reaching out to students, loving them, and then helping them as they gather and prepare and do strategy for the future. I don't know how God's going to provide there, but I want to just ask you to pray about that. We're going to become a world impact church. And all of us are going to have assignments somewhere. Is God laying that part of the world on your heart in any way? And if you're a guest here today, we're just so glad you're here. If you haven't heard, we had invited our guests to a little lunch. It's going to be right after our worship gathering today. And it's over here in the building to our side. If for some reason you haven't heard about it, didn't get to sign up, we provided some extra meals. You're welcome to come. So you can look over at your spouse or your friend or your family member and say, do we have lunch plans? And if not, feel free to come join us. We're going to share the vision and talk about the future. Our staff will be there. We love the chance to get to know you and talk about the future as well. And don't forget that on Easter Sunday, we're going to have two services that day. Not going to have our connections classes, but we're going to have two worship times. Would you be thinking about reaching out to somebody you can invite during that time and get connected with them? Maybe even sit with them in church. Maybe even go to have lunch afterwards. Would you have a heart for the unreached? Today, if you need prayer, we're here for you. We'll have folks at the front who'll be glad to pray for you. If God's leading you to become a part of the Summit Faith family here, you know we'd love to have you too. If that's your decision, we'll rejoice with you. Hey, we're glad you're here. Are you glad you came? Why don't you stand with us?